If you regard alcoholics and drug addicts not as bad people, but as sick people, then we can help them to get better. By we, I mean other people who have the same problem, but have found a way to live drug and alcohol-free lives. Russell Brand. Hey, listener, welcome to the 16th episode of How Are You? Really? I'm your host, Nick, and today, I'm sure you could probably pick up from the opening quote, we will be talking about addiction and substance abuse disorders. Same thing, but kind of go all under the same umbrella. And before I get into it, just wanted to tip you off that psychiatry.org is the source of a lot of the information I will be giving you right now. So let's get into it. So what is addiction? Addiction is an incredibly complex affliction, a brain disease that is manifested by compulsive substance use despite harmful consequence. Individuals with addiction or severe substance use disorder have an intense focus on using a certain substance or substances such as alcohol or drugs to the point that it takes total control of their life. Sufferers keep using substances despite knowing it will continue to cause problems. People with a substance use disorder have distorted thinking, behavior, and body functions. Changes in the brain's wiring are what causes people to have intense cravings for the drug and make it hard to stop using the drug. Brain imaging studies show changes in areas of the brain that relate to judgment, decision-making, learning, memory, and behavior control. These substances can cause harmful changes in how the brain functions. These changes can last long after the immediate effects of the drug, known as intoxication. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, people begin taking drugs for a variety of reasons, which include to feel good, so the feeling of pleasure or the high, to feel better, to relieve stress or maybe feel happier, to do better, which would just increase their performance or improve their performance, or curiosity and peer pressure. So what are some symptoms of substance abuse disorders, you might be wondering? Well, they're grouped into four different categories. One, impaired control, which is a craving or a strong urge to use the substance. Desired or failed attempts to cut down or control substance use. Social problems, which is substance use causes failures to complete major tasks at work, school, or home. Social, work, or leisure activities are given up or cut back because of the substance use. Risky use, the substance is used in risky settings and is continued despite knowing the problems. Drug effects, so the tolerance, which is the need for larger amounts to get the same effect, or withdrawal symptoms, which differ from each substance. People with addictive disorders may be aware of their problem, but are unable to stop even if they want to. The addiction may cause health problems as well as problems at work or with family members and friends. The misuse of drugs and alcohol is the leading cause of preventable illnesses and premature deaths. So what does treatment involve or look like? So the first step on the road to recovery is recognition of the problem. The recovery process can be hindered when a person denies having a problem and lacks understanding about substance misuse and addiction. The intervention of concerned friends and family often prompts the treatment in some cases. Other cases, other people don't want to give it up, so you can't really force them to. unfortunately. A health professional can conduct a formal assessment of symptoms to see if a substance use disorder exists. Even if the problem seems severe, most people with a substance use disorder can benefit from treatment. Unfortunately, many people who benefit from treatment don't receive help. And I'm sure that's pretty widespread across the world right now, really. Because addiction affects many aspects of a person's life, multiple types of treatments are often required. For most, a combination of medication and individual or group therapy is most effective. Treatment approaches that address an individual's situation and any co-occurring medical, psychiatric, and social problems can lead to sustained recovery. There's one particular method that we will go into a little more in-depthly in a couple minutes that talk about attacking all aspects of a person's psyche as opposed to just the addiction piece, but we'll get into that in a few minutes. Medications are used to control drug cravings and relieve severe withdrawal symptoms. Therapy can help addicted individuals understand their behaviors and motivations, help develop higher self-esteem, cope with stress, and address other mental health problems. Treatments may also include hospitalization, therapeutic communities, you know, like highly controlled drug-free environments or like a sober house, or outpatient programs. And many people find self-help groups for individuals like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, as well as their family members groups, Al-Anon or Non-Anon family groups, to be very effective forms of treatment. So one of the aspects of treating a person with a substance abuse disorder takes it a step further when it comes to addressing all the other aspects of that person's psyche that I was mentioning a minute or two ago. And this comes from psychologytoday.com and in particular Dr. Morteza Kalegi. I think I got that name right, actually. Hopefully. If not, someone let me know. But he focuses on the concept of dual diagnosis. Okay, so this emerged as a concept over 20 years ago, but unfortunately is still not well understood by the medical establishment, though it is a quite simple and incredibly effective method. So this one, I knew a couple practitioners when I worked in the mental health field who swore by this method, and really I kind of lean toward it a lot more now that I've learned a lot more about, you know, the psychology of substance abuse. I think this is really the only way to go about doing it, but, you know, that's just my own two cents on this. But let's get back into it. Dual diagnosis describes a practice that treats people who suffer from both an addiction and a psychiatric disorder, okay? Which, this is just myself interjecting here, is the majority of drug abusers. Most of them, probably, I'd say, in the 90% range, have a psychiatric disorder that probably preceded the abuse or was the factor behind the abuse. But, again, that's just my opinion, and we'll get back into it. So, for example, you can be addicted to drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, or a combination of those things, and you can have a psychiatric disorder or disorders that includes schizophrenia, bipolar, eating, depression, borderline personality, or any of the personality disorders for that matters, among many others that we've discussed already. A high-functioning alcoholic can suffer from mood disorder. A crack addict can suffer from clinical depression. And a bulimic can also be bipolar. So what Dr. Marteza Kalehi is saying here is, it is this, the dual nature of the affliction of the vast majority of addicts that remains largely undiagnosed, untreated, and is greatly responsible for the sky-high incidences of relapse. Dual diagnosis is not well understood by our healthcare system, and one reason for why that is that it's not set up to treat it. Instead, the U.S. healthcare system is set up to work in one of two ways. Sequentially, okay, so this, first the addiction, and then the underlying psychiatric problem that drove the addict to seek solace in alcohol or sex or drugs in the first place. But unfortunately, so you treat the addiction, then go for the psychiatric problem. But unfortunately, there is often a tragic time lapse between the two phases, and this often is when the relapse occurs, okay? So you can't. So people try to focus on treating one and then the other. And like I just said, in between that downtime of treating the other one, that's when the relapse, that window of opportunity there is usually when the incident occurs. And then the second the second method of our healthcare system is separately. So the addiction and the emotional problem are treated at the same time, but by two different doctors, neither of which have a comprehensive picture of the patient's health, okay? And frequently, each doctor is tentative with prescriptions for fear of exacerbating the other disorder. So you have two doctors on each side who don't want to undermine the other doctor's work. So really, neither of them are doing as much as they possibly could be doing together, right? That's where this dual diagnosis comes into play. So dual diagnosis is key to a true recovery, because addiction, in its essence, has nothing to do with addiction. Addiction has to do with trauma, anxiety, depression, and biochemical imbalances. And the sufferer's attempts to regulate and relieve his or her own level of pain. Dual diagnosis deals with these so that the patient can have a full and lasting recovery. Okay. So that's why I think it's incredibly important for that piece to be involved in this conversation. You know, not a lot of people are aware of it, which is just absurd to me. So, yeah. That's why we need to talk about that method a lot more, I feel like. So let's talk about maybe some prevention. It's a little brief preventative piece. Drug addiction is preventable. Drug education and prevention efforts aimed at children, adolescents, and involving families, schools, communities, and media can be effective in reducing drug misuse. It's really just a lack of education. Lack of knowledge, lack of awareness. So what are some risk and protective factors for drug misuse and addiction? So aggression or aggressive behavior in childhood, all right? So a protective method for that risk, right? That's the risk. Protective method for that would be good self-control. So you start implementing ways for that child to gain more self-control, and that prevents that. Poor social skills, offset that with more positive relationships. Okay, create a way to make positive relationships around this person. The availability of drugs at school versus the school's anti-drug policies. How strong are they? Are they effective? Are they just preaching? You know, are they actually breaking through to the children? Lack of parental supervision. This can be thwarted by parental monitoring and support. Drug experimentation, that can be offset by academic competence. Okay, if you feel like you're doing very well in school and you're succeeding, then you probably won't feel like you really need to experiment drugs at that point, right? Or community poverty versus neighborhood pride. What sort of community is this child coming from, or this person coming from? Is the neighborhood a proud and safe place to live, or is it been poverty and, you know, bad place to grow up, experience a lot of traumatic stuff? But yeah, so those are just some ways to maybe address the issue before it's even created. All right, so what are some ways? How do you help a person in need? So here's just a couple suggestions from psychiatry.org on ways to help a friend or a family member dealing with a substance abuse disorder. So learn all you can about alcohol and drug misuse and addiction. Speak up and offer your support. Talk to the person about your concerns and offer your help, including your willingness to go with them to get help. Like other chronic diseases, the earlier the addiction is treated, the better. The next one, express love and concern. Don't wait for your loved one to hit rock bottom, okay? You may be met with excuses, denial, and anger. It's pretty common, especially in the first stages of the addiction. Be prepared to respond with specific, it's important, examples of behavior that you are worried about. You know, the specificity will increase that person's awareness of the conversation, you know, and it will be a lot hard to argue with specifics. Don't expect the other person to stop without help. Okay, you've heard it all before, right? All the promises to cut down, stop, but it doesn't work. Treatment, support, and new coping skills are needed to overcome addiction, alcohol, and drugs. There's no way around it. Support recovery as an ongoing process. Once your friend or family member is receiving treatment, or going to meetings, remain involved. Show your support. Continue to show that you are concerned about his or her successful long-term recovery. Okay, stay around. All right, so what are some things you really don't want to do? Okay, because there's quite a few of them. Do not preach. Okay, don't lecture, threaten, bribe, preach, or demoralize the person. Okay, this is not going to help anything. Don't be a martyr. Avoid emotional appeals, that may only increase feelings of guilt and the compulsion to drink or use other drugs. Okay, don't just attack the person. Don't cover up, lie, or make excuses for his or her behavior. I think that's really important, because a lot of members or family members or friends who see, you know, someone they love going through something like this tend to cover up, make excuses, or help them out with certain things, try to provide and be that sort of support, but really you're only enabling them, and it's only going to continue to get worse from there. So you just don't do that. Don't assume their responsibilities. Taking over their responsibilities protects them from the consequences of their behavior, right? And it just provides them more time to use also, you know? So definitely allow them to fail, because clearly they need it. They need a wake-up call, right? Don't argue with them when using. Avoid arguing with the person when they're utilizing whatever substance that they choose, because at that point, they cannot have a rational conversation, all right? Their brain's already under the influence of outside chemicals, so you can't break through to someone in that sort of mind state. Don't feel guilty or responsible for their behavior. It's not your fault. They're the ones that are doing it to themselves, right? You know, it is a disease, and yes, you know, there is a lot of out of their control in that regard, but, you know, the pieces that led up to this point were all their choosing, so it's not your fault. And do not join them. Don't try to keep up with them by drinking or using either, because that's just going to put you both in the same boat, right? And this one, I'm just throwing in there on my own accord. I always try to live by this, because it's pretty much a cardinal rule, I feel like, in mental health. Just always remember this. You cannot help someone who doesn't want to help themselves first, right? You can't convince someone that they're going to need help. I mean, you can try, and maybe you can plant the seed, and you can grow it and all that, but, you know, it's really until they realize that there's a problem and they feel like they want to do better for themselves that sort of change will be able to happen. So, yeah, and I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. So, you know, thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed the information there. So the next episode, I'm going to leave up to you guys, or I'm going to leave up to you, the listener. So I'm thinking I'll either do traumatic brain injuries or a nature versus nurture discussion, because I've heard a lot of remarks about both of those topics. So I'm going to leave it up to you, the listener, to choose which one you would rather hear. Okay, so that was TBI, traumatic brain injuries, or nature versus nurture discussion, which we've touched on quite a few times in previous episodes. So send me a message or whatever you want to do, really, to get in touch with me. You can hit me on pretty much any social network at Nick Moon, or you can email me at howareyoureallynickmoon@gmail.com. And yeah, thanks in advance for participating in that. And yeah, I'll look forward to hear your responses. Both of these topics are going to require a little more research than the other topics have. So it might be like a week and a half to 2 week window for these guys. So yeah, give me your responses as soon as you can, and yeah, I'll get right into it. So yeah, thanks again, and yeah, that's gonna do it for me. Nick out.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.